From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good Lakers, please,
USA. Oh, good morning to you, friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you on this marvelous Monday. Oh, how you adjust into the time change. I'm kind of liking it, actually. It's interesting, not only a time change over the weekend, but also a time change, a new show time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday. And I've heard from quite a few of you saying, oh, I don't know, I might miss you. But the beautiful thing is, we have a podcast. So I save this and put it up on our website, kslm.news. You just hit the little podcast tab there, drop on down to Good Morning Salem, and there you can find today's show and other days all the way back to when I first started a year ago, which is kind of fun. And so, I know there's a little bit of change happening, but it's a good change. Here's why. We will have Charlie Kirk live right after my show this morning. It'll be the first broadcast that we've had him actually live. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at Charlie Kirk and what he brings to the table, and for us to be informed of what's going on nationally and how we can be activated locally. And speaking of being activated locally, I just wanted to give kudos out to the River Church for hosting the fellowship, Business Alliance Fellowship. It was incredible on Friday. Several businesses, over 50 individuals were there, several business owners, independent business owners. And as time went on, we had a beautiful dinner. The staff at the River, they were fantastic serving and there. And Pastor Lou, a great leader, showing us that we have hope, we have encouragement in one another. And the next Business Alliance will be a fellowship, will be April 9th. And if that's something that you're interested in, I certainly want to get you that information. Send me an email, Stacy at kslm.news. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you, together on this 15th day of March. And I know it's Kelly Patterson's birthday today. Happy birthday to Pastor Kelly Patterson. And if it is your birthday, happy birthday to you. And certainly, you know, it's important that we surround ourselves with people that speak life over each other. It's important that we have people that show us how to be better, right? And I know I am better by hearing from you. I thank so many of you that send me emails, you give me ideas, you say, oh, slow down in my talking, which I'm still working on that. Please give a phone number, all of that. I love your feedback. And I just want to let you know how much I love you and I respect you, and thank you for tuning in and listening and certainly sharing the concerns that you have on our heart, not only for our nation and our state, but our local community. And it's really important to me to be a source of encouragement and inspiration. And when I started the show a year ago, I said we're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower each other with news that we can use. And it was interesting in my morning time this morning, because I had a little extra time, I came across this, and I wanted to share it with you this morning because it speaks clearly of who you are in my life and how I want to be in yours. Listen to this.
Hi, I'm John Maxwell. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Today's word is river. And I would like to talk to you about the fact that a river is where the water flows. It has boundaries, it has banks. And by the way, those boundaries and banks allow that water to go rapidly to where its destination is. So boundaries and banks, they're a good thing. If you remove the boundaries and the banks, and all of a sudden you just have a flood, and a flood's not going basically anywhere. The banks give the river some impetus and let the flow have energy to it. But what I tell people all the time is that you and I are to be rivers, not reservoirs. What does a reservoir do? It stores up the water. A river, it lets the water flow through it to its needed source, to the tributaries, to the farms, to the places that need the water for irrigation so that they can have the crops. A river is a constant source of nourishment for people. You want to be a river so that people, when they see you coming, they know flowing toward them are things that will add value to them. Don't try to store it and hold it for a, a special day. The problem is with special days is they're not that special and they don't come often enough. Use what you have now. Remember, God will only give to you what he knows will flow through you. That's a river flowing into the lives of people to really make a difference. I'm John Maxwell. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Oh, such a great time to be reminded that we are to be a river in each other's lives. And speaking of a person who has been an incredible resource in my life and certainly an encouragement, and we're here to talk some business this morning, is my friend Amy Ryan Corser. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for joining me in the studio today. Thank you for being a river in my life, a river in the Willamette Valley of resources and connecting people. Every time I'm around you, I'm a better person. Thank you for that.
Oh. You're going to choke me up, and I came in so tough. I'm ready to talk issues. Mm-hmm. You're killing me.
I love it.
I love it, too. Thank you so much for having mm-hmm. me and helping me be part of the conversation because, you know, I think a lot of us aren't experts in everything, but if we could find the right people who are and we can make some things happen and be the difference, I think that's what it's about.
Well, I appreciate it. I had to reschedule this morning, and you and I were in class yesterday at the Constitution class, the Biblical Citizenship class, and I said, hey, let's come on the air and talk about what you had posted about on Facebook. You had a really good post, and it was an eye-opening. It's something in our community we've been dealing with. I've talked to Mayor Bennett about it. 2 weeks ago, I had a group in that are looking at trying to build some resources, and it's really facing this homeless issue. I can't shake it, Amy. I'm telling you, I've worked 30 years ago. I worked with the homeless. I worked in the inner city San Francisco. I went there to learn and to serve, and I learned a lot about the issues that face homeless people. But at that time, it was not an issue here. It was not an issue in Salem. And here we go. I come back 30 years later, and my Salem, the green Salem where you didn't dare throw your Coke bottle out because, you, for one, it's worth 5 cents. For two, you know, you would get a $500 fine. You know, the greenways of Oregon and along I-5, it was such a sanctuary growing up, and it really taught me to don't throw your trash out and all of those kinds of things. To see camps on the side of the road, it's filthy areas. And I know that there are people attached to that are living in substandard condition. It breaks my heart.
That's right. That's right. And for me, I'm right there with you. And I'm also like you from here, and we've watched it evolve. And I think what is difficult is to have the compassion and the servant heart, and you want so much to help help others and want no one to suffer. I know you're like me. You want to feed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's our love language. But then this weekend, I do a lot of walking on. I try Saturdays to try new places, mm-hmm. and I went to a place I hadn't been in a while. And of course, you know, as residents, we drive by this all the time, mm-hmm. and these camps, and especially we see them in the ODOT right-of-ways. But I'll tell you what, I parked over in a Polk County park, and we went for a long walk, and I was appalled, not just offended and saddened, but I mean, it moved to almost anger. And like you just said, we take pride in our, mm-hmm. this is our city. And mm-hmm. I think if everybody felt that same way, we can find the solutions. And I've got lots of ideas, and I've been doing some homework of what actually exists because things have changed too with COVID and that. But I'll tell you what, to see these tents, and they're not just tents, they're taking our kids' soccer fields, and they put a sign to me to stay out of the restroom because they wrapped it in their tarps and you couldn't use it because that was now their shelter. That is taxpayer dollar. And it's time that we step up, talk about accountability, talk about where the sourcing is coming from. You know, there's a big difference between taking care of our kids and our families that are struggling because they're in our communities and taking care of everyone else from all over the state. It's just not okay with
me. And that's something that I've known a long time ago, and this was happening 30 years ago, is there'd be one-way bus tickets out of town. Mm-hmm. And that's one way that people would deal with it, is just like, you're out of here. Mm-hmm. Just get out of here, you know, and go to wherever. And what we're learning is they're coming to Salem.
They are. They are. And we are now known not just for having compassion and great resources, because we do have some wonderful programs available for our homeless, but it was 700 about 2-3 years ago, and now I think we're down to around 500, it sounds like. But that's a lot of programs and resources. So people are, and I know two specific states, which are Seattle, up in Seattle, Washington, and then Idaho, and they're giving them one-way tickets with a voucher, with a sleeping bag, and saying there's resources in Salem because Oregon is a sanctuary state, and that has gotten got to stop. If
so, a sanctuary state. Let's define that. What does that mean by Oregon being a sanctuary state? Just that they won't be rejected, that they'll be received. Is that kind of what that means?
Well, we have programs in place where we're giving them, of course, food vouchers and welfare and, mm-hmm. you know, and state funds. And that all comes from the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line to me of taking care of our own and making sure everyone's okay and taking care of the world, because that's just not okay for our taxpayers to fund that issue.
When I brought this up with our mayor here in Salem and talked to him about that, he said a lot of the interstates that we see, a lot of the homeless that we see on Market Street and some of the parkways and things, that's actually state property.
That's
right. And they're not allowed to enforce that. What I'm hearing you say is that now it's encroaching on city property, city areas. And I know certainly downtown it's been an issue along TJ Maxx and
That's
around.
Right.
And people don't want to shop downtown because
nope.
they're afraid to be confronted with, will you give me money, or jumped or at risk for
That's
being
right.
harmed in some
it's
way.
It's not safe. And look at our businesses that are suffering. I'm sorry, but someone needs to stand up for our local businesses and say, this is not okay. They did try to move them from the sidewalk. Salem's tried different things. So, you know, they do deserve credit. I don't want to say that they're not doing anything, but it's overwhelming right mm-hmm. now and people are noticing it. And that was really what came to light in this post. It was simply just a post of my frustration and it blew up with people. A lot of people had great ideas. A lot of people are frustrated, and I didn't realize the level of frustration until I made that post. And here we are having the conversation.
So. Well, and here it is. The times we move forward are in spring. Spring actually hits this weekend, and the weather's warming up, and people are wanting to get out and move around a little more. And safety is certainly an issue, but access to these things that we're being taxed for.
That's right.
And being able to be on the paths, be on the soccer fields, the baseball fields, things like that. So that's just a practical response. But then the emotional and the compassionate response, is what do we do about it and who's responsible for this? And this is where we keep going in this. It's like that. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again mm-hmm. and expecting mm-hmm. different results. That's where I feel we're at on this homeless issue.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. I definitely want to give credit where credit mm-hmm. is due, because I think there's some great programs. And there's people like you and me who have a huge heart, and that's their whole life. They are dedicated to this problem. But I think people need to pay attention and wake up to say, wait a minute, not in my city, not in my business, not my, and I'll tell you, our resources, like our law enforcement, as you know, I'm a huge advocate for mm-hmm. law enforcement, and I talk about it a lot, but I'm also talking to our officers, and they're telling me it's not safe for them to go in, and they have the resources to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do we draw that line? If our own officers are saying, this is a huge issue, and we are really not wanting to enforce it because of their own personal safety, we have an issue.
Well, and then that's something that I definitely want to talk about when we get into the next segment. We're going to go to break here shortly. When we get into the next segment, I want us to talk, kind of build a bridge to what we can identify, what's been happening and what mm-hmm. services are out there. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of the hour, I want to open up the phone lines, because I know many of our listeners have faced this as well. And they're wondering, and maybe you're part of the solution. Maybe you know of things people, our listeners don't know about. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're not here just to curse the darkness. We're here to be a part of the solution, and we're so glad you're tuning in this morning. Homelessness here in the Willamette Valley, it's a serious issue, and we need to do something about it. We'll be back after this. KSLM News Talk Radio.
Hey, yeah, you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you on this marvelous Monday. A little chilly this morning. In fact, I had to scrape my windshield. And I want to give a shout out to my friends, my new friends at the River Church. I had a flat tire and they came and helped me out with my flat tire. And so thank you so much for your assistance. They have kind of an assistance team, and Terry will be back tomorrow. And I'm so excited about that. And so my life will get back to some sort of normalcy. But as we look at the weather today, 48 degrees today, rain expected on and off. Tomorrow, 53, Wednesday, 59. So we're moving towards those spring temperatures. And certainly this morning we're talking about our crisis in our community, and along the Willamette Valley certainly is this need for people that are homeless. And when we talk about COVID-19, we talk about the fires that hit, we think about the unemployment, all of these things compounded on an issue that has already been pretty big here in our state. And now I'm really concerned as the end of March, the 1st of April, this moratorium where you didn't have to pay rent, people that had it, people that didn't have it, haven't paid rent, and now they can start getting eviction notices. And I think officially by June or July, they can be evicted. And so that adds more insult to injury. And it's been interesting because both the city mayor here of Salem and I think the Kaiser mayor as well have done kind of a state of their towns. Nationally, we haven't heard a state of our nation from our new president, but we have heard from our Chuck Bennett here and also Ann Kaiser, the mayor there. And it's important that we kind of address these issues. And one of the things that was listed in the Statesman Journal, Chuck Bennett said, you know, as far as homelessness, he says it's disturbing on a basic humanitarian level to see our fellow residents living in what can be degrading, unsafe, unsanitary, and deeply unfortunate conditions. And of course, Bennett said Oregon is the seventh leading state when it comes to the homeless population behind Massachusetts, Washington, Texas, Florida, New York, and California. He said advocate groups estimate the local homeless population at between 1,500 and 1,800. Now, these are serious numbers. And a couple weeks ago, I had Lisa Andrews in on the studio, and they're working on a plan. Their group is working on a plan to build kind of a campus to address some of the homeless issues with not only housing, but training and all of those kinds of things. And she told of a story of a young couple. And I don't know if you heard this or not, Amy, that were underneath the Market Street Bridge, and how they had young children, and that they couldn't pay. They lost their home in the fire. Then they got a hotel room, but they burned up all their money, and they were still waiting for unemployment checks, which they burnt through all of that, and now they're underneath the bridge. Their credit's ruined. And it's really challenging. Even when Terry and I moved here a year ago to even find a place to rent, it's always a challenge before all of this. Mm-hmm. So we have some serious, serious needs, and there are plans happening, and there are community services. What kind of services are addressing these needs now that you're aware of?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to recognize as the work homeless work I've done, and I've worked on the streets. I'm not just, you know, like some of our elite politicians that sit in, you know, to sit in their offices and take direction or point direction. But I've been on the street. And I think the most important thing people really need to recognize is so that we are educating ourselves so that we can move forward is that I liken it to a pie, Stacey. Mm-hmm. You take a pie and you take the pieces, right? And the pieces are constantly changing sizes. But you're right. You have the affordable living. And that can't be confused with the people who have addiction issues who are, you know, maybe choosing not to get help or not to take their medicine. And now we have to add the fire victims and the ice storm victims and COVID and unemployment. And it's just snowballing. It's a snowball effect. And we have to educate so that we can get the right resources to the right people. And so, for example, I had a great conversation with Madam Mayor Kathy Clark in Kaiser. This is, which, of course, my hometown. Mm-hmm. And she reminded me, they have done, and when I was city councilor, they've done such great work. And it's the Mid-Willamette Valley Homeless Alliance. Okay. And they have a website. And there's a really great conduit for connecting resources. And I think that's really important. And I know I work closely with United Way. And I know Stephanie will be joining us today. But it's important to, and we've got, I have to say, really quick, to that piece of pie, let's put in our homeless youth, because that is something that my heart aches for. These kids who don't have the resources, who are choosing, or who it's a choice also, to go out and to couch surf and things like that. And you know, they get into the lifestyle, into the system, and then we're losing them. And I think we need to get everybody back on track, back in school. We got to get these graduation rates up. It all works together, Stacey. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. Is not only we take the information, we get the education, but then we connect them to the right resources, because we do have over 500 nonprofits and some really great people like our United Way and this Homeless Alliance with our mayors that leading that charge.
Well, and the difficulty is for me is I in just the year that I've been here and I've been asking these questions, it's like everybody's blaming somebody else. It's like, well, that's on state, that's ODOT. That's on state property. We can't, as a community, we can't address that.
Right.
You know, and so there's all integral
levels of government, but we as a people too. Mm-hmm. This is our neighborhood. These That's are right. our businesses. What are we going to do to align ourselves along with these nonprofit organizations who are equipped? They right. have the mental health specialists to
Absolutely.
Train with the complex needs. And my work 30 some years ago, inner city San Francisco as an intern with in Janis Joplin's old house on the Haight-Ashbury. I know that people were homeless for a variety of reasons. I think there's this perception that they're homeless because, you know, they just want to be that way. And that is sometimes the case.
Sometimes.
But sometimes, and when you think about all of the things that have happened in the last 18 months, even prior to COVID, there was a shift in our economy. And there's things that have happened, and housing was already a crisis before
right.
all of that. And so we've got to be a part of the solution. We really
right.
do.
But part of that, Stacey, I agree completely, but I also think that needs to go the conversation to the next level. And that is, we have empowered our state legislators, and they have made laws that protect our homeless. Now, there's some good laws in that, and there's also some laws that are really frustrating to local law enforcement because they can't enforce the law. And mm-hmm. I know everybody has a right to choose to take their medicine or their mental health and work on their mental health issues, but guess what? We have, as taxpayers, are having to fund the issue, and I think it's time for some accountability and a little more tough love than we've provided. And maybe it's because there are resources. Mm-hmm. That's the thing people need to know. There are resources that people are not using and utilizing. So let's find a way to be to find that middle ground. There's a balance between your compassionate statement, which I love about you, mm-hmm. but there's also the people that need to provide the accountability and say, how do we make this happen? And if you're not part of the process of solutions and you're not willing to get the resources, have the job, give back to the community, then we need to help you relocate.
Well, and that's exactly the truth, because there is a difference between enabling
Absolutely.
And empowering. And we're about empowering. And if you don't want to help us help you,
yep.
then there are other places that you can go to be more independent and off the grid, and it's not downtown Salem. We're going to continue the conversation. You're welcome to join us, 503-589-1220. We're addressing the homeless issue here in Salem, Kaiser, and the Willamette Valley. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this marvelous Monday. I'm Stacey Ann, and getting adjusted to the new time. How are you doing? It affected me a little bit yesterday as I was scrambling to get ready to go to church and to our biblical citizenship class where we're learning about the Constitution. And I wanted to say, those of you that went to Chris Ann Hall and to her meetings, it was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, they are going to do Liberty University classes. That's Chris Ann Hall's kind of school on the Constitution. They're going to start those on the 24th of March, and it's in the evening, and that'll be at the River Church. So if that is something you're interested in attending, send me an email, stacey@kslm.news. And I also want to say we are still real close now to that deadline. March 18th, that's just this week, is the deadline. If you're thinking about running for school board, that's when you need to have your application in. And there's several openings throughout the state and particularly in this area. And if that's you want more information about that too, send me an email and I can connect you to the people who are kind of monitoring and helping people fill out school board applications. We're continuing the conversation this morning talking about our homelessness and what can we do about it. And again, we've said many times there are great organizations here in our community that have been working behind the scenes. And I personally think they don't tell their story well enough because they're so busy working. And this beautiful woman has been on the air. It's been a while since we've had her on the air. And I'm always delighted and always feel encouraged. And Stephanie, you always add value to my life and those that you encounter each and every day. And we're so glad to have you here. Stephanie from the United Way, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, my friend. I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Good. I miss not seeing you at dancing lessons. You and your hubby, we were right before this last lockdown, we were all participating and learning how to dance, and I'm glad that you're doing well. Talk to us a little bit about United Way and how you guys have been working. Certainly, oh my gosh, this has been such a year with the pandemic and the unemployment and then the fires and the ice storm. What you're doing around the community to address the issue of homelessness?
Boy, big question. It sounds like I'm getting something.
there, is that better?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, good. Sorry about that. I was trying to use my headset, and it still got some feedback.
Yeah,
can you hear me clearly?
The headsets usually do give feedback, so if you have your handset, that'll probably be the best.
Okay. So back to your question. I apologize. With regards to homelessness in Salem, you know, for those of you who don't know, we have Safe Sleep, a women's shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey, I'm so sorry. I have such bad feedback.
Okay. Are you on your handset or are you?
I am.
You're still on your handset.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Why don't you try to call back in?
Okay.
And maybe we'll try it again. I'm not sure what's going on, but sometimes the AirPods or the headset with the phone or on a speakerphone, that'll cause some issues. In the meantime, go ahead and call back. And if you want to join the conversation, friends, you can call us too, 503-589-1220. For the best sound, just use it as your regular phone, like you're calling your kids, no speakerphone or no headset or whatever. For some reason or another, our system it doesn't handle that very well, but we'll try this again here. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, you're back on the air with me. How are you doing?
Okay, much better.
Oh, yes, that's great. So you have Safe Sleep. I know that you had a truck that did showers and things like that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So Safe Sleep United has had 19 beds since December of 2018, and we've been full every single night. It's women only in a low barrier shelter. Unfortunately, about 3 weeks ago, we did have a positive COVID case, so we had to shut down for a couple of weeks, but now we're back open. And we are going to launch a remodel of that space and hopefully have up to 40 beds, and we're going to launch that the middle of April. And again, it's for women only. So think of that in terms of there's over 300, almost 400 homeless women in Marion County, and we have only 40 spaces for them to be in.
Wow. And so the need is overwhelming. Talk to us a little bit about this ice storm and the warming shelters that everybody put up.
The ice storm was so unexpected, and anyone who was already struggling in our unsheltered community found themselves literally with no place to go. So warming shelters popped up everywhere. We were instrumental in getting food and blankets and space heaters and those type of things with our partnership with Good 360.
So that these are the things that you were doing on top of already providing food boxes, addressing food insecurity, all of those kinds of things as well, huh?
Yeah, we had with the COVID food program still going, which ended the end of the year, and then we picked it back up again for a couple of weeks during the storm. We also are supporting the Saniam wildfire survivors with ongoing basic needs, and we just gifted $250,000 to the Detroit Lake Foundation for their community center to get up and going and off the ground. And that was on Friday.
Outstanding.
And then we gave $150,000 to the watershed because their water supply is completely cut off.
Wow. Now, one of the questions that I get, and it's easy to, you know, criticize of the problem and see it growing and multiplying, but one of the questions I get is, what can I do about it? What can people do? How can they volunteer?
That's a great question. Right now, currently, the Women in Construction organization in Salem are putting together a shed build, and it's twice a month for a Saturday day, and they're building sheds, and their goal is 250, and we've partnered with them. We have sponsored a few of those sheds and are helping them with their efforts to get volunteerism, and that is on both their Facebook page and ours. Obviously, where there's still some support that needs to be done outside of that for the wildfire survivors. And we put together cleanup volunteer opportunities when they come our way. And then also our Good 360 programs always needs volunteers to unpackage the items that are donated so we can get them out to Anthony Hall. And then it looks like we're probably going to do a resource either room or building in Detroit for those victims to still come and get the things that they need.
Have you found that a lot of these families that have lost their homes are adding to, I know from personal stories that I've heard, but are adding to our homeless population here in Salem?
Unfortunately, that's absolutely accurate. For those of you who don't know, Fisherman's Bend was a location for people who were living in tents and or RVs of some sort that really stayed there. That was their home. And when the wildfire hit, all of those individuals were evacuated. Mm. Even though they were currently unsheltered, now they've lost everything as well.
Mm.
We are trying diligently to get individuals, especially families, into RVs. We still have a donation program that's still going strong right now. And people are still trying to stay on their property and clean things up on their own. But it did a significant increase of our homeless population in Marion County by those fires and ice storms.
Well, I certainly the need is overwhelming. What is one specific thing someone could do today? What's something United Way needs today?
That's a great question. We have really been trying to be a convener of all of the programs that are going on, and we're partnering with FEMA. And so duplication of services has really been one of our focus areas to make sure that we're not doing something that somebody else is doing. And so with regards to that question, the best need is to call the organizations such as ourselves that are working on this kind of recovery and seeing what their specific need. We personally at United Way still need volunteers, and they can always go to our website.
Mm-hmm.
Push the volunteer now button and we'll get back to you with an opportunity. And large organizations like sports teams or an office that wants to give us a few hours, Capital Subaru just did that last week. We still need that kind of support. As far as donations go, blankets are a high need right now, even still with everything that's going on. And then the dry, like shelf-stable foods. But I want to reiterate it, we are not a food bank. And mm-hmm. so if you want to do a large donation, please consider Marion Polk Food Share for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to help with the unsheltered for granola bars, that kind of stuff, we're still partnering with Community Action Arches and doing that work as well.
Give us your phone number and your website.
It's 503-363-1651. And our website is unitedwaymwv.org. And there's a button that says get involved, and you can hit the volunteer button, fill that form out, and we will absolutely get back to you.
Great. Hey, Steph, it's Amy. I just want to say thank you so much for all you do. I know you and I have worked closely together for years, and I consider you a precious friend. But I want everyone to know how much not only United Way does, but how much you do and your commitment to the community. This, obviously, we've had a lot of issues in the last year. We have been flooded with issues. Trial under fire. Notice my verbiage there, but because you continue to adapt and we have had such an ongoing issue for years. This isn't a new issue. And look, now everything that's thrown at you, you keep adapting and working so hard and you are tireless. You work tirelessly. And I don't think people understand how much effort and work it goes into it. And you stepped up with food. You stepped up when we mm-hmm. volunteered for the fires, you and I side by side, we delivered. And you know what? It could not have happened without you. And you were the catalyst and you were, you delivered. And I can't thank you enough for all that you do.
Amy, thank you so much. You are a precious friend as well.
I'm curious to find out if you're going to have a Mickey Mouse refresh here pretty soon now that Disneyland's opening up down in California.
Oh, my gosh. I'm dying right now.
I know. I think of you, my fellow Mickey Mouse fan. Well, you have a wonderful day. Thank you for sharing. Be blessed. We keep you in our thoughts and prayers and certainly do all we can do to support the United Way. Thank you, Stephanie. Tell everybody hello for us.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. We're continuing the conversation this morning. We have another caller on the line. Good morning to you. Who am I talking with this morning?
Good morning. This is Deborah, and I'm not sure if you're still talking about the homeless.
We sure are. Yes.
Are you? I talked with you the other day. It was so fun to
talk
with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling in. And talk to us a little bit about what you see in the homeless and the challenges that you've come across.
Well, I go visit friends and in Kaiser area, and I'm really concerned about the
camping that I see a huge camp clump of tents and garbage and garbage bags, and it's on the corner of Salem Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so concerning to me because the garbage and the way it's unsanitary, those people should not be camping in the middle of town like that, or on the outskirts of town, or anywhere near homes. And I don't know if that's city property. I don't know. Usually Kaiser's pretty good about keeping things cleaned up. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised to see that there. And so I just didn't think that we should have that there. Because
I agree, Deborah. I think you're absolutely correct. It's disturbing, isn't it? Thank you for calling in this morning and adding to the conversation. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand
good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Monday. Want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being the morning show sponsor. You can get a hold of Bill at 503-885-0789 for your insurance needs, or go to sunderlandagency.com. Continuing the conversation this morning, Amy, it's so good to hear about these community services. And I just pulled up the Mid-Willamette Valley, their state, you know, their alliance page. And it's interesting, Willamette Valley, MWHHomelessAlliance.org, MW Home, and there's no phone number that I could tell. I know a lot of people like to know about a phone number to get involved, but there's this alliance, and it has all kinds of information.
Right.
All the data, committees, documents, strategic plan, funding. Here, I'll try contact us. Maybe there's a phone number there. Give me your thoughts on, you know, some solutions and things. Talk to me a little bit about your thoughts after talking to Stephanie and
sure.
where we go from here.
And I just adore Stephanie, obviously. She's worked so tirelessly. But there are many people like Stephanie who are committed to our community, who truly have servants' hearts. And so, for example, the collaboration of this Mid-Willamette Valley Homeless Alliance, they have brought all the resources together to be solutions-based. And so those are the kind of resources that we need. There's a lot going on, I think, that people don't realize, because we drive by it and we're so exasperated with frustration and what we're seeing. And so it's hard to know, you know, how can I help? How can I make a difference? Because there really is a lot of work. But what I would love to do, and obviously this is a long conversation we could have for days, but I would like to let people know I'm guilty, and I admit that in this learning process, though I work with many homeless and I have some favorite people that I adore that are working, who are living on the streets, I can tell you that I'm just as guilty as of giving $5 here, and I don't do it as much as I used to, but I do try to make deliveries and food and blankets and socks. Dry socks are so important for the homeless. I challenge people that have the heart like I do, who want so much to be a compassionate servant. Let's get the products and the people the right the right needs through the right organizations. So if you have $5 to hand somebody on a street corner, could you please give it to the food bank, or give it for example, United Way, or one of those other great programs, because they can utilize it and make it go quite a ways, because they do a lot of matching grants and things like that people don't recognize that are available. And so I would challenge people like and I'm guilty. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I challenge you with me. Let's stop being that catalyst of and instigating the issue, because it's not going to go away if we keep handing out. And
it reinforces that behavior.
That's
and it enables instead of empowering.
That's
and
right.
here's the thought, friends. If they have to go to one of these centers to get their needs met, then they can ask the right kinds of questions and make sure that it's not just their immediate need of their hungry tummy, but there's other things that they're addressing. But if we keep giving the $5 at the corner,
that's right,
when we roll down our window because we have some guilt or shame because we're okay, that is not going to make the issue go away.
That's
it just
right.
feeds it, and
that's
it
right.
festers, and it's a more troubling. And so we need to have good solutions, and we're continuing to open up the phone lines. We've got a little bit of time left here. I'd love to hear your thoughts this morning. Good morning, Curtis. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, Stacey?
Good. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. This has always been been on my heart for years and years. I absolutely agree with your guess that says let's not give out that way, but give to an organization that can help them out. And I think this would be a nice thing to do some brainstorming on, because my family has been poor, very poor in the past. My grandparents in the 1900s, when they had the Depression, they had what they called poor farms. Mm. And that really helped in a lot of ways. That mm-hmm. helped people give them a dignity, and also it provided services. One of the greatest things I can see that we're finally doing is opening up the fairgrounds to be able to have a coordinated area for people to stay and coordinate the services. And it definitely is on my heart, and would love to talk with people more and more and brainstorm about how, you know, what worked in the past can always work now, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. I appreciate your input. And Curtis makes a good point as well, Amy, when we talk about, thank you, Curtis, for calling in.
Yeah, we'll talk more soon.
Yep, thank you so much. You know, we do have an opportunity to look at the past and how we've addressed some of these issues. And we've had times in our American history where we've had tough, lean times, right?
That's right.
And I think with this next year, and certainly with the increase in heating our home and even the gas pump and all of these economic issues that we're walking through, I think it could get real tight.
Well, not only that, Stacey, but I hate to, you know... Be negative. I really don't. You know me, I'd love to be mm-hmm. positive, but I think we also need to pay attention to the fact that we've opened up our borders as the United States, and we're going to have, if you think we have issues now, those are going to increase mm-hmm. with people needing services. And mm-hmm. so I definitely want to not leave out the Union Gospel Mission, which does so much locally,
yes.
and they are wonderful people with a servant's heart as well. But remember, not everybody wants to, you know, provide that accountability. I don't mean as services, but I mean as people who I know a lot of homeless who won't take a COVID test. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to be accounted for. They want to be off the grid. And so I think we need to fine tune that line of accountability and where do we need to direct them, because it's not our backyard.
Well, and the trouble is, for me, the part that makes me nervous is if law enforcement and those that we have, that's what they do. If they're intimidated and go into those areas because of what's happening in those areas, if we don't get a handle on it now, it's just going to fester and get worse down the road. And so I think there's a time now. Yes, we've been focused this last year of trying to for our own families and our own jobs and all
that's
of that,
right.
But we also have to take in account what's happening in our neighborhoods, and we need to do something about it. Again, we're about empowering and bringing information and getting into action and organizing and having a plan versus just talking about it, and we do not want to enable. We want to be a part of the solution. I'm so thankful, Amy, that you came in. I'm glad that you had that post on Facebook. In fact, if I have your permission, I wouldn't mind posting it again on
sure.
our KSLM, because you took some good pictures and you had some good interaction, and we can be a part of the solution. Let's continue as we move forward, friends, to be a part of the solution. I have one more call and see if we can get it in here before we wrap up. I believe this is my friend Gail. Good morning, Gail. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, Stacey. I hope I'm not going to end this as a devil's advocate type of person.
Well, let's go
anyway,
for it.
Anyway, there's a video. There's several things I wanted to touch on. There's a video out that earlier, I don't know whether it was Seattle is dying or Seattle is burning. And when you watch that, there were a couple women on there who did a fantastic job of taking homeless and turning them around, including their drug problem.
Mm.
And I have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, find me the link. Send me the link. I'd love to post that too.
Okay, I will. The other thing I wanted to say is, are those couple, and I'm going to keep talking before I get an answer to the question, is are those couple with the children still under the bridge? If they are, we have failed them. I have many times thought, why can't individuals, I know we're not qualified because we don't have the resources, the expertise, the knowledge, but why can't we sponsor, you know, a street, sponsor a family? We can get these people off the streets if we come together.
Right.
Well,
the solution to that, just to address that, is to get behind the United Ways and our community organizations and we really want to encourage people not to be individuals going into these camps. It's just not really safe. But helping these organizations, volunteering the organization, that is how we can make a difference. Thank you, Gail, for being a part of the conversation this morning. Thank you, Amy, for joining us this morning. The hour went so fast, didn't it?
Thanks for having me. I love being here and sharing the engagement.
And what is your website?
I'm Amy at amyfororegon.com. Actually, it's my
your email.
My email, Amy. Amy for Oregon is all my social media.
Thank you for being a part of the solution. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, friends. Remember, God bless you and God bless the USA.